Welcome back to our three guests one more final time. One of the things we set out to try to explore was, are we talking about the same God? Does it matter whether you're talking about the same God? It would be simplistic of me to say that between the three of you, the Jew is not particularly interested in converting either of you two to his position, but the other two would be quite happy if other people converted to your position. That's a difference not of the God, because that has no, it could be the same God, but you have a difference of approach. You don't feel threatened by the fact that they would like you to join them, do you, Rafi?
I don't. And I think partly what Tony mentioned before is I'm very secure and comfortable who I am and where I am, but also quite knowledgeable and understanding where Tony comes from. And I know, out of respect for me, Tony will not overtly try. But I understand, in essence, the makeup, the DNA of who you are compels you. Not necessarily compels you, but that is one of your inner...
Yes,
it's the logic.
The logic,
faith,
I suppose. Or the
yes, we would believe that God loves all people, and we believe it's good news that God has opened the way for us to come in back into relationship with Him. So, all the bad stuff of selfishness and rebellion and greed and all the rest of it, which gets out to such huge bad effect, fundamentally is a problem between us and God. It is secondarily a problem between us and people, and the God bit has been healed because Jesus has taken the penalty for us. And so it's fundamental to us that you can't earn it, you can't make up, you can't do enough. It's actually all about gratitude, that once you receive it, you then work it out in gratitude. It's not earning. And I would think actually that's the Old Testament too, personally, of how you'd see it's grace, not law, in the sense they were the people of Israel, called out and rescued by God and then given the law as to how to behave. So they're doing it out of a relationship that's there, how to maintain it well, rather than how to be good enough for God to have you. And we do want to share it. And of course, Jesus, I think, was incredibly loving in the way he dealt with people, and particularly crossed boundaries. He was inclusive to everyone. He picked up those who were outcasts of shame. He cared for the Samaritan, which was politically not correct, etc. But he was also very egocentric, saying, I'm the way, the truth and life. No one comes to Father but by me. So you have this effect of a humble person who's making these big claims as to be the bridge between God and man. Now, in a sense, I also want to respect everyone on their journey. And I think in the end, thankfully, God's the judge. So I'm not there to judge people. I'm just there to invite.
And as I use the term logic deliberately, because it would be totally illogical of you not to wish to share that. Yes. If I called it an additional belief, since that, the Judaism has added a great deal to its origins anyway, so it's not that this is stood but still.
Exactly. There was a period where it was very much encouraged, or strongly encouraged, I suppose, in Jewish history, shall we say, to bring people into the fold. Right. But that's a different phase of our history.
And perhaps it would be true to say that false conversion is no conversion at all.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So, that's a total misunderstanding that God's given us freedom. So any way in which you take away freedom to get an answer is an oxymoron in reality. It's been done a lot, but it doesn't fit at all with the faith. And I find it fascinating, Jesus died on the cross, but he never says, I've done all this for you, you jolly well ought to do X, Y, Z. There's no record of him on that sort of playing on his sacrifice, as it were. So it's a free invitation. And often I feel Christians have been pretty bad examples of Jesus, so I'm not surprised people don't get the message. So it's the church's fault often.
I think you set yourselves high targets. You're all aiming quite high in your lives. Islam happily takes the Old Testament, takes the New Testament, takes the story, the details of Jesus, and then goes on from there. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. So to us, religion or God's guidance started with Adam, and a message was delivered to him as to how he should live his life. He erred along the way, and he was also taught how to repent. And time went by when that message was lost or got confused, so a new message, further message came down, and it was gradually a build-up of those messages. And we believe that with the Quran or Islam, that is the finalization of that message. So from our point of view, everybody is born a Muslim, if I could use that term loosely. they believe in God or the belief in God. Over time, they may change, etc. So if they were to come back into the fold of Islam, we wouldn't say that was a conversion. That was more a reversion. So that's one thing. Secondly, there is no compulsion in religion. You know, there is this misnomer that Islam was spread at the point of a sword. Yes, there were wars, but then that was in every religion. That's not how it spread. Islam right now is the fastest growing religion in the world. Some say that it may actually be the most dominant religion in the UK by the year 2050.
Now, why is that? Is it because it's new?
I think that once people understand the message, the message that is being portrayed, either through the faith, through the acts, through the book, the sacred text, once people understand it, they know that it's not taking you on the wrong path, if I could use the non-negative of that. So they kind of say, well, actually, that's how I live my life anyway. Okay, I haven't actually recited the Shahada, which says, yes, I'm a Muslim, but I actually lead my life according to those values, to those ethics, and so on. Therefore, to take that next step, to give me that link with God, is an easy step. In fact, we had a young man this week who actually became a Muslim at our centre. And I spoke to him and he said, look, I used to talk to people about it. I was very interested to learn about it. I didn't know where to go. Once I met a few people and I saw the way they led their life, I felt I wanted to lead my life in that same way. And so I want to learn more. He accepted it and he's now actually learning. And I've found that those people who've reverted are actually more dedicated in learning the religion than those who were bestowed it through birth.
Conviction can easily blend into, if I say aggression, I mean, conviction can become too strong. One can become so convinced of something that you end up actually believing it is not only the truth, but the only truth that you then have to take forward and hammer into people. Now, you've all three very clearly expressed that you don't hammer each other on this. You respect each other's.
Although I think there's a misunderstanding on that, because I think we've developed a tolerance means you don't hold to truth firmly. And I don't think that's true. I think we would hold to the truth firmly. We're just tolerant to other people. So there's a freedom for people. And I think God has given us a freedom to make. He's given us a mind that we can choose. There are consequences of that choice. And he's set it up that there's a kindness and a graciousness to rescue us. But actually you have freedom and therefore you have responsibility and therefore you have consequences. So I think we have got into a bit of muddied water when tolerance says, oh, anything goes, because I don't think that is what any of us would say.
The idea that tolerance is, I will tolerate you, implies, oh, from over there, and whatever you do is, we're doing, I think, the opposite, is that we are becoming very engaged in each other's lives. I'm not seeking to emulate or imitate what you're doing, but I'm seeking very much to know who you are, to know what you believe, to understand what you believe, so we can have a relationship.
Yeah.
It's very different from this term tolerance. It's that I don't think that's what we're doing.
But I do think we want to be tolerant in the sense of having people having a right to other beliefs. But it is saying, I would say, for me, the God is Trinity. Jesus is God. Jesus died for our sins. And that is very fundamental to who God is and what he's done.
That's an absolute.
And that's a truth.
Truth.
Now, my grasp of truth is always inadequate. So it's always mystery at one level. But having said that, there is an absolute nature of it, even if I can't get there. And there is a sense in which, therefore, that rules out certain things as well as rules them in. So there is a divergence within the faith community of what God looks like. And in the Jews, Isaiah and Jeremiah would have disagreed about how they saw God, but it was like two different faces, a bit like Raffi is both husband and father and rabbi, and people would see him differently. But I've seen him operate such that he's the same guy. So there's an integrity about who he is, but he shows different faces. That's sort of slightly different from saying each of us is identical. We're not. And it's that difference, I think, there are genuine differences.
In Islam, we believe that God has sent us guides whether they are in the human form or whether they are in form of sacred text or whatever. And he's shown us the right path. In Islam, path is actually quite a meaningful word. So there is this straight path and there are these other paths that you could err on to. But he's given you the free will, but he's shown you what is the right path. You can then choose to either accept that or not. But my conviction will always be for my friends, my family, etc. I want them to be on the right path, but I will not force them to do that. In Islam, for instance, even when you are breathing your last breath and you're on your death's bed, nobody will say to you, you must recite the Shahada before you die. Although if you can, immediately into paradise. But they will not force you to. What they will do is they will recite it themselves. If you have the will, you will hear this and you will do it yourself. But if you don't, that's your loss. You are then accountable for that when you are judged. There is a judgment day. That's one of the basic beliefs in Islam. There is a judgment day and you will be judged on your actions. Therefore, you know, if somebody is different to me today, I might think I'm better than them, but tomorrow they might be better than me.
And it's quite interesting in Christianity too, the idea of judgment day, but God looks on the heart.
Yes.
And I find that's a very liberating thing. I mean, when I do funerals and you don't know quite where people are, God knows their heart. And there's a passage in scripture of the sheep and the goats when the sheep, who, if you like, have made it, saying, what do we do to get here? And he's saying, oh, as you gave a cup of water to the least of my brethren, you did it to me. So it wasn't that they had had a big teaching. So I find some people, if you grow up in a home where there's hypocrisy, I think some people then have reacted against the faith and they chuck the baby out with the bathwater. And they may in life be anti-Christian, but when they see the real thing and get the sort of healing for the wounds that were inflicted on them, they might say, oh, that's what I want. I just rejected it because I was shown something wrong. So when you've had people, you know, when your people have been badly treated, it's not surprising then. They have got corns and wounds and stuff. So they may not, in their heart, they may be different from the outside.
But surely the biggest issue, the biggest question that you all have to face is that it's not that people are anti-Jewish or anti-Christian or anti-Islamic. People don't actually care that much. It's not an issue for many people. Religion is not particularly relevant to many people now. Would you say that is A, is that true? B, does it matter? C, what happens?
I would say everyone is a spiritual being. So what I say to people is, who I am, what am I worth, what am I here for? Those are the spiritual questions of life. And actually, I do think everyone has those concerns. Mm-hmm. Now, they may
but
not
it doesn't
look
mean
at them
a religion
in a faith
has to answer
way.
That.
Well, does science it, doesn't answer.
No, I'm not saying science. So, but there are all sorts of ways in which one can answer it. You three represent three religious answers to that question. And other people have other answers to that question.
So, again, it's whether it's the inward feeling or the faith, or is it the outward actions, which is the religion? So people may say they don't have a religion, but does that mean they don't have a faith?
And I think it also is a trend of a drive towards individuality. And I think religion helps give the framework or the foundation for a community. We want to believe, we want to become, but we also mostly we want to belong someplace. And I think from the perspective of Judaism, we want to be able to give people a home. And I think the challenge we have, and I agree very much that there is a sense of apathy towards religion growing up, especially in people of my age group and slightly younger, what's the point? And it's become very much about, well, why do I have to pay membership dues or why do I need to, it's my faith I can do. Mm-hmm. And the message I try and teach them is it's not about you alone because you can't do this by yourself. It's about how are you going to live in relationship and community with somebody else? And the religion gives you the framework to do that. Yes, it also answers those spiritual questions, or at least attempts to. But I think it forcing you to look and see that you are a small part of something much larger than yourself. Not to minimize you and not to denigrate you and not to make you feel insignificant, but quite the opposite. Look how what a powerful thing you can be a part of. And I think that is the challenge of how to answer that question. But it is a challenge. Absolutely, it is a challenge.
It has to be said, though, that in the days when lots of people went to church, which I'm not sure was quite as historical as some people think it was, sometimes they just went through the motions of it. So whether it was real and affecting them, yes, it did hugely. And lots of the social reform in this country has come because of people with faith. But I think in the days when it was a done thing to go to church, you went to church and it didn't necessarily affect you. So that's always the challenge, not just of numbers in the building, but it being in your heart, isn't it? And in your mind and part of your the real sentient bit and the deciding bit of your life.
In the early days of Islam, when the companions of the Prophet went out into the wider world, a lot of people converted, reverted, use whatever word you like, to Islam by just looking at their mannerisms, their actions, and what they stood for, their values, their ethics, etc. So if someone says to me, well, I don't have a religion, that's fine. That's their point of view. However, I would then ask certain questions. In the Quran, God goes through this whole chapter where there's a question after each statement, which of your Lord's favours will you deny? And I always kind of come back to that. He's given you two eyes. You know, you weren't just born with them. Somebody created you out of something. In the Quran, there is actually a chapter which describes from the beginning of a human being right through to birth, you know, the stages it goes through. And that was described 1500 years ago. So did people have that kind of knowledge, or was there a superior knowledge behind that that actually gave you that message and guidance? And it's then they have to think within themselves and say, do things just happen? You know, we talk about the Big Bang Theory. Yeah, it just happened. But my intellect says things don't just happen. Mm. There is some force behind it that makes it happen.
I think just one final thing is that I think in the Bible, you've got a lot of God pleading with his people when they're not hearing and saying, because in the end, we believe that, and God is saying, if you come back to me, you find health. Actually, it's like the hub of a wheel. If God's in the centre, the thing works well. And so often they were going off and hurting themselves. And I think that's the message too, isn't it, still, of if we live for ourselves and if we do just what we want and if we're self-centred, it doesn't actually work out well. It may be common and it may have certain attractiveness to it, but in the end, does it work?
It's to give you that context. And the line that, when you're reflecting what you just said, Akhtar, is, I think it was Albert Einstein, that coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous in our lives. And it's just, I'm just thinking of what you just said. And exactly. It's I refuse to accept that I'm just a cosmic accident, that this is why we're here. Yeah.
Gentlemen, why you've been here is for good reason, and thank you very much for all the time. It's been a long time. We've been chatting good. Over
it's
many
been good
months.
Fun.
Thank you very much for coming in, and I wish you all well.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you very much.